Hello, and welcome back to our mini podcast series on APP fraud. In case you haven't been following our podcast so far, I'm Rashmita, a solicitor in the commercial disputes team at Womblebond Dickinson, and I also have with me Sammy, an associate in the team.
Hello, thanks for having me on the podcast today, Rashmita.
Of course. In this episode, which will also be our last episode in this series, we will be discussing the keenly awaited judgment handed down by the Supreme Court this July. Can you guess it?
Yes, you've got it. The case of Philip v. Barclays Bank, where the Supreme Court has unanimously overturned the Court of Appeals ruling. We will quickly outline the facts so we're all up to speed. Rashmita, did you want to run through the facts for us?
Absolutely. Mr. and Mrs. Philip were the victims of an APP fraud. Having been deceived by criminals pretending to be the FCA and National Crime Agency to instruct Barclays to transfer $700,000 to bank accounts in the UAE. The money was lost. The couple thought they were transferring their money into safe accounts to protect it from fraud. The reality, however, was a far cry from this. Mrs. Phillips later realized the fraud and, without any prospect of recovery from the fraudsters, sued Barclays, claiming it had breached its Quincecare duty by not refraining from executing her order to transfer the funds.
Wow, it's quite scary, isn't it? How many different ways fraudsters can deceive someone into transferring such large amounts of money?
Yeah. And the High Court, at first instance, granted summary judgment in favour of Barclays. It held that the Quincecare duty was limited to situations where payment instructions were not properly authorised. For example, where an agent of a customer gives payment instructions purportedly on behalf of the customer.
However, that wasn't the end of the story. The decision was appealed and the Court of Appeal overturned the decision of the High Court, a ruling that caused some murmurs, to say the least. It held that the Quincecare duty was not limited to circumstances where the bank was instructed by a customer's agent. Instead, it said that as soon as a bank is on inquiry that an instruction is an attempt to misappropriate funds, the duty is capable of being applied. Lord Justice Burr said that the question over whether a Quincecare duty arises is a matter for trial, and therefore the summary judgment in Barclays' favour was wrongly entered and should be set aside.
And then, of course, we come to the more recent decision of the Supreme Court and the focus of this episode. The Supreme Court unanimously overturned the decision of the Court of Appeal. It stated that the bank's Quincecare duty is not extended in cases where a customer themselves has authorized a transfer, even if the customer was unaware that the fraud was being perpetrated upon them.
So here we see a return to the High Court's decision and a useful clarification of the scope of the Quincecare duty.
Yes, absolutely.
So Rashmita and I have picked out some key points from the Supreme Court's judgment that we want to share with our listeners. Shall I go first?
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, so firstly, losses suffered by victims of APP fraud is now the subject of legislation. The Financial Services and Markets Act 2023, or FSMA as it's known, which received royal assent on 29th of June of this year, makes provision for a mandatory reimbursement scheme. However, it's important to note that this scheme does not extend to international payments and so does not apply in this case because Mrs. Philip instructed the payments to be sent to the UAE.
Yes, that definitely is something to keep in mind. So extra caution should be taken for those who are seeking to transfer money outside of the UK. Our second key takeaway, which follows from this, is that in the absence of such a scheme that can be relied upon, it was held that the relationship between the bank and its customer is a contractual one. The bank's main and well-established mandate under such a contract is to follow a customer's instructions to make a payment and to do so promptly. In circumstances where a customer has authorized a payment themselves and not via an agent, it is not for a bank to concern itself with the wisdom or risks of a customer's payments decisions.
Essentially, the Supreme Court is saying that absent an express provision written into a contract between a bank and its customer that says something along the lines of X, the bank, will not comply with a payment instruction if it has reasonable belief that a customer is being defrauded, then a bank should follow its ordinary and strict duty to carry out a customer's instruction. And of course, there is unlikely to be any express provision which says this. The court also ruled that there is no such implied term, because to imply such a term would be inconsistent with that strict duty.
Thanks, Sammy. The third point to highlight relates to the original purpose of Quincecare duty. The Quinn's Care duty was established in order to protect a customer in circumstances where a bank received a payment instruction from an agent of a customer, and in those circumstances, if the bank has reasonable grounds to believe that the agent is defrauding the customer, it owes a duty not to carry out that instruction. This remains good law. However, this reasoning does not apply in this case because there was no agent involved and the customer herself personally gave instructions. The validity of the instructions is not in doubt, and it is not in dispute that Mrs. Phillip authorized the bank to make the payments.
Yes, the Quinn's Care duty definitely still has its function, the function that it was originally designed to have. Our last key summary point is that this case is still not over. Mrs. Phillip has an alternative claim that Barclays was in breach of its duty in not acting promptly to try to recall the payments after being notified of the fraud. This alternative claim lives on. The court said that this issue cannot be considered without a full investigation of the facts, which requires a trial. The Supreme Court therefore restored the order granting Barclays summary judgment, but varied the order to permit Mrs. Phillip to maintain her alternative claim based on the bank's alleged failure to act promptly to try to recall the payments.
So we will wait to see where Mrs. Phillip's alternative claim goes. And that's the last of the points we wanted to highlight from the Supreme Court's judgment. In summary, this landmark decision clarifies the scope of the Quinn's Care duty, reverting to the previous understanding that the Quinn's Care duty is there to protect customers where an agent is involved. However, it does not extend to situations where a customer gives a payment instruction to a bank themselves.
Yeah, so this decision should give some comfort to banks, at least for the time being. Banks can continue to act in the knowledge that it's their duty to follow a customer's payment instruction without the need to concern itself with the wisdom of any such instruction. Although a bank will, of course, still need to watch out for UK to UK transactions where the mandatory reimbursement scheme could apply and leave banks, rightly or wrongly, footing out large sums to customers who have been defrauded.
And of course, Barclays may still be found to be liable under Mrs. Phillip's alternative claim, which of course could give rise to an increase in claims being issued against banks for not acting promptly to recall payments upon notice of fraud.
Yes, banks should therefore act fast in these situations going forwards and, where possible, ensure that decisions to act or not to recall payments are recorded in a paper trail to put itself in a stronger position should it face claims like this in future.
Thank you, Sammy. Some useful practical points there. So this brings us to the end of our mini podcast series on APB fraud. We hope you have enjoyed listening.
Thank you.